Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
Welcome to Barbecue Nation with JT and Leanne After Hours, the conversation that continued after the show was done.
Hey everybody, it's JT, and this is a special version of Barbecue Nation. It is brought to you in part by Painted Hills Natural Beef. Beef you can be proud to serve your family and friends. That's Painted Hills Natural Beef. Hey everybody, welcome to After Hours here on Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, at least I am so far today. And we're talking with Leanne Whippen, of course, my radio wife and co-host. Mm-hmm. And then Will Homer, who is the COO of Painted Hills Natural Beef. I think some of the best beef on the planet, bar none. And that's just not because I have a relationship with you. I actually remember the first time I ever tasted Painted Hills, and I stopped. It was at a demo in a grocery store. I walked about 10 feet chewing on this piece of whatever it was, whipped around, came back, and I said, "What is this stuff?" And that was 22 years ago. You remember that? No, you didn't. You weren't there. You were home sleeping. But anyway, I'm just always curious because, like I said in the regular show, you know, they haven't put fuel and food in the inflation calculation forever. So people really don't have a, especially when you're listening to the news, which I try to avoid at all costs anymore. But when they say, you know, well, inflation's down to, you know, 2.9%. Well, this country was used to having a 1.2% inflation for years. But, you know, the government's borrowed money and people have made stupid decisions and all that. But I would think that on the consumer side, again, that when they hear that and their heads explode watching the TV at night, because it is a kitchen table issue. It's a budget issue. You know, Leanne has a budget. I have a budget. You have a budget. Everybody we know has a budget. And part of that budget, one of the most important things is you got to eat, as you so eloquently put it in the regular show. You got to eat, but sometimes you have to make choices. So sometimes I wish these guys, these great prognosticators, would just shut their pie hole. And things usually even out on their own. But the other thing is, I wish the people that made these like inflation numbers and stuff, I wish they would just tell us the truth. You know, if inflation is really at 5.6% or whatever it is, just tell us. We'll deal with it. Just tell us.
There's no decent source of information anymore. It's all about selling the commercials between for you were drinking. I didn't want to bring it up. That Mando stuff that keeps your stink away or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
There's just so much crap today, you know. It's unbelievable. But that I don't think so. They said a couple years ago, I heard one of them say that most people's food budget's a rounding error in their tax statement. So make good choices and buy what you want to eat. Quit buying potato chips. They're not good for you. But anyway, sorry, potato chip guys. Anyway.
I know you've eaten a few potato chips in your day.
I know. They're not very expensive. Yeah,
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but, you know, I mean, that's just it. Eat what you want to eat. I'm just thankful that we're kind of in a society today it's somewhat busting us over the head, you know, but it's kind of laid off quite a bit versus what was in the 90s, 80s and 90s with the whole saturated fat movement and all those things, you know, when we got down to the lowest low in per capita consumption. And then we've bounced out of there with the Atkins diet and the protein movements that we're in today. And so those are good things. I don't think there's such thing as too much protein in your diet, because I don't think you can physically take it on. It doesn't, you can't just sit and eat it until you explode like you can Oreos. So,
right. I wouldn't know about that.
I remember college.
Do you know what the largest market is for, like, marketing and internet marketing?
No.
Pointed at consumers is?
No.
You know, Leanne, do you know?
What category?
Yeah.
Is it a food category?
Sort of, yeah.
French fries?
No, a little bigger than that. It's diets.
Oh, diets. Oh.
It's diet plans.
Yeah,
You can sit down. I know somebody who did this, so I know this is true. You can sit down and you can write a weight loss book, and you can pay your local physician some money if you want, or some so-called quote unquote nutritionist to say, this is the greatest thing since shoe polish and you should do it. And if you do this, you're going to lose 50 pounds in 7 hours and so on and so forth like that. And it could, well, if that was true, I would have done it. But the point is that to me is right along the same path as, you know, scare tactics, if you will. They're preying on people's emotions,
sure,
their self-esteem, whatever. You can throw all kinds of labels at it. But the point is, you know, if they think this is the miracle diet, you know, I went on the Atkins diet 20 years ago and it worked for me because I like to eat meat, you know, and I would have, you know, scrambled eggs and ham in the morning, and I'd have a steak at night and so on and so forth. And that was my toughest thing, was not eating maple bars. That's my favorite, you know, that's really hard. But I really think that, you know, everybody's always looking for the quick answer. And that's why these diet fads work so well as far as sales and marketing. They're probably not healthy at all, but for most of them. But, you know, that's what makes it work. That said, when you're marketing beef, is there more to it than just raising a good product, putting in it, you know, like we say for you on the show, beef the way nature intended? And then maybe some store demos or whatever. But is that it as far as you can take it with marketing?
Yeah. I mean, just tell the story. Tell it what we do out on the ranch. And with the story, they got, you know, people dream up so many bad things of what's going on that you know, we just want to share what we do out there. And then provide a good product that once they do experience it, you don't want them to be eating and go, oh God, it's terrible, but I'm doing good for the, oh wait, that's beyond beef.
Yeah.
What, you know, so, but you know, cause they won't, they'll go to pork, they'll go to chicken, they'll buy something else more often when it's not good. But we create a steak that you buy for, you say you buy for your family and friends because your friends are coming over. And my dad always tells the stories, your friends are coming over and you're going to have steaks tonight, or go, you know, you don't want them to go home and say, God, that was the worst damn steak I ever had. I don't want to ever go back to Joe's again. So that's the kind of thing we're creating. It's really about the follow through of creating a product that tastes good. We got to get them to pick it up by telling the story and talking about no hormones and no antibiotics. And when we started 27 years ago, we talked about safety, and I'm not a big basher. I don't like to bash the other guy to sell my product, because that's what everybody does. Yeah. Everybody bashes the other guy. Well, his doesn't do this and hers doesn't do that. And we're more carbon this and we're more carbon that. But when you get done and you put it in your mouth and it doesn't taste any different or taste worse and it costs more, they're going to buy chicken and pork more then they are going to run back to there. But what I want to create is the thing that goes, man, that was so good. The hamburger is so good. I got to buy the hamburger. We're going to make spaghetti tonight. I got to buy the hamburger. We're going to make hamburgers tonight. I want them to come back to that. Now, Do they know about us and what we do? Yes. Do they agree with what we do? Yes. Those are all good things, but I want them to eat the product because it's good.
Mm-hmm. It's tough. And I've sat in on a few of these with you.
No, it's not tough. It's choice. It's good.
No. No. Bad choice on my part.
I know.
You did. But you've always, Painted Hills has always backed their product. And I've been in your office when somebody called and said, hey, I got a really gristly steak. And you take care of them. Yeah. It's only been a couple times in 22 years that I know of. But, you know, you do that. Most of the big stores, excuse me, Kroger, Safeway, those big chains, they don't do that. They honestly probably couldn't do it.
Well, there's nobody. If you went to your meat manager and you knew, or you know, the first mistake the typical consumer does is doesn't go back and meet the guy that he likes to buy his beef from. Go back and talk to him, see what they got going on, see who they are. You know, we get. I had an occurrence in a store that recently where the tri-tips I've gotten short in supply and they've gotten high in price, and so this store takes the tri-tips out and puts select beef in its place. Now, I can't imagine a customer. I can't imagine there's going to be the customers are going to go home. There's going to be 50% of them are going to say Painted Hills screwed something up, even though my sticker's not on the package. And the other 50% are going to say, boy, that store screwed me. I'm not ever going back there. And what they need to do is go back and see that and take a look and say, well, yeah, it's $8 a pound instead of $18 a pound. Why is it? Let's go back and talk to Joe and find out why. Let's go talk to what's going on in the meat business. Why is it like this? Right. And that way, if they have a bad experience, they can say, hey, you know what? I'm going to go back and tell Joe that we really can't. We got to go back to $18. Maybe I won't buy tri-tips every Thursday night, but we got to have the good stuff. We can't have that other thing. So that's the biggest mistake people make is they need to go meet the meat guy and meat manager and go see what they're doing and understand what's going on in the back. But, you know, Jeff, there's something going on here that's pretty crazy. And I haven't figured this out either. I have competition in my segment of no hormones, no antibiotics. And I have actually left that door open because of our struggle with this high price of cattle we talked about in the other segment. And I have meat managers like these guys in the back here that say, you know what, that other beef comes in, it has the same attributes, no hormones, no antibiotics, has a maybe even a third party certification, which is just paper. And, right. and they say it doesn't cut as well, it doesn't taste as well, it doesn't sell as well. What are you doing different? I can't tell you. I just think we have the best climate for beef where we are. I think we do a great job feeding cattle. And it's all about that Painted Hills name. So as we've evolved 20 years, I've even kind of pushed towards dropping that natural thing so that I get away from those others that do the same thing and say, hey, this is Painted Hills beef. There's only one place to get Painted Hills beef. So because you got to differentiate yourself. And obviously with what these guys are telling me in the back of the store, it's differentiated. So,
well, the other thing is you're not doing dairy cattle.
No dairy cattle.
Yeah. Leanne's looking at me like, what the hell is he talking about? If you ever drive if you ever drive down the full length of California and you get down past Fresno and that, there's a great big feedlot down there beyond your east side of the freeway. And back
Ranch.
And back when the dairy business was taking a plunge, I was driving down there and that thing had to be filled with 4,000 Holsteins. I mean, it was just,
oh, no. It's 200,000 cattle and they're all Holsteins because California is was the largest dairy state in the nation at that time. Right. I don't know which one, where they've kind of all those dairy cows have moved to, but you're not going to see those black and whites like they used to be. In the last 2 or 3 years here, they've They've started managing their dairy cows tighter. And so a herd of 25,000 head will pick out the top 10% of those cows, breed those cows to a dairy bull,
right,
to create a dairy style calf. And the other 90% of the cows will be bred to an Angus bull and be bred half Angus beef. And so now those cattle come out mostly black. And those black cattle will go into the system as Angus cattle and will just blend in and become more Angus beef. So it's not a lot of cattle. There's 35 million cows in the United States, 30 beef cows, and there's 9 million dairy cows. So it's 5 or 6 million calves that will be crossbred to blend more. They'll produce better beef than the Holsteins, but the Holsteins were always there to begin with. My dad's up in arms. Oh my God, here they come. Well, they've always been there, but now they'll be bred to be a little bit better beef, but they'll still have the struggles of that dairy base in the background. And it might not just be Holsteins. It might be Jerseys.
Yeah.
It depends on what region, but they're all starting to use that they're all starting to be able to differentiate their cattle by genetics, performance, individual performance, pick the best of the best to make the milk and the rest. You know, a dairy cow has to be bred every year to make milk. And
right.
So we get lots of calves just left over that way. So.
Now, I just remember that shortly after I drove by that, then all of a sudden there was a lot of Tough and Chewy Select in the grocery stores. I'll just put it that way.
I used to say all the beef south of San Francisco was dairy beef in Phoenix and all that country. But I think there's getting to be some understanding of beef better down there in that market, because I'm starting to sell some product down there through food service in that neck of the woods. So
there you go.
They're starting to ask more questions.
So the next pressing question is, Leanne, did you score those steaks that are behind you?
I must have, because I can see they're on a plate that my mom has. She has these green plates. I normally don't do that though. So, oh, you know what? That was, I was marinating these and I used them for, it was like fajitas or something like that. So there was a reason behind it. I don't know, but that's not my norm.
I just curious, because they were so prevalent, those score lines in them. I just thought, well, maybe
yeah,
she's
I
doing
remember
something special.
I made that for a particular dish. And I remember the instructions or something. Whenever I do recipe once, I follow the instructions 99% of the time. So obviously there was a reason for that.
Okay. All right. Just curious. Mm-hmm. All right, buddy. So real quick here, I want to ask you a couple of our normal type questions, if there is such a thing. And you've been out on the road. Is there something that's really caught your attention that you've seen in the stores by the way of a protein product or the way it's presented or marketed that you've gone, ah, it may not be any good, but you went, ah.
Well, I shouldn't share this because hanging tenders are damn hard to come by and there's just one per animal. But when I was in Charleston, I ate at a restaurant that took a hanging tender and cleaned it up and rolled it in a cellophane and chilled it. And so they basically created a tenderloin type item, pulled it out, cut it into 8-ounce portions, and then served it with a pepper sauce. And it was delicious because you expect a tenderloin, which is a blank slate for a chef's skill. But this was a hanging tender that had all that rich, meaty flavor, and it tore apart with my fork. And that was delicious. What else did I see? There was one other project. Man, I'm not going to be able to remember on the spot, but there was one other thing that I thought was really good that I like to share. But man, I'm failing.
Do you think that the creative folks like Leanne, some of these other top chefs around the country, around the world for that matter, but they are taking beef, not just tenderloins, but, you know, tri-tips, whatever, and they're creating these dishes with it. They don't get paid by you or the other beef producers. They just do it kind of as they're in their own library, so to speak. Has that helped with sometimes selling more of the meats that at times you don't sell very well?
Yeah, there's lots of new items compared to what we used to do. Most prevalently is the pellet smoker and the brisket. I mean, you know, brisket used to be, we used to let them wad up in the freezer for $1.20 a pound and sell them by the truckload to this distributor I went to this last weekend. And short ribs were the same thing. We just let them build up because they only went export. And now they're local, you know, they're a crazy item. The American consumer has learned to eat all of the red mussels now, and they didn't used to. They used to eat just they used to get presented two things, right? Two different grocery stores. We had a grocery store that was your typical mainliner, or Walmart even was all select. And then they were not only select, but they were round mussels. Top round was a nice steak, and top sirloin was the top of the heap. And I have a grocery group in Seattle that's kind of the top of the heap that sells rib strips, tenders, and flanks. And that was my food service business 20 years ago. And now every grocery store sells rib strips, tenders, and flanks. And I can't hardly get the round meats to move. And so that's a struggle. And I don't know how to make a smoker fix that problem. But that's our biggest struggle in the carcass. But like your petite tender, you're going to do, you know, sounds fun and all. And we used to have seasons of those, and we'd have long dates on those and such. And boy, we don't have that anymore. Those are hot. I went to Charleston, they were talking about them. I went to Seattle, they're talking about them. They're just talking about that everywhere. So there's just nothing there's nothing hiding anymore. It's just everywhere. Everything's out.
You know, what's interesting, Leanne, you pipe in on this, and this will wrap it up after this. I can't believe how many people like on Twitter, oxtails.
These people
they go nuts over oxtails. And it used to be oxtail soup. You know, okay.
Yeah.
Not anymore, man. It was like, I don't know if that started with the faux chuck steaks or whatever, but there's not a part on that cow that's a muscle for the most part, like you said, that isn't being used, or somebody's creating something with it. Leanne, what have you seen with that?
I agree, but you know, oxtails, they're hard to come by, at least around me. I think it's also social media, internet craze, and that, you know, it goes through, it'll be a cycle. I think they'll disappear, and you know what I mean? Like they're looking for the next hot item to talk about, something different. So
I think you ought to create beef haggis.
I don't think that's a good idea.
No. The next one will be cheeks. Right now, the USDA inspector ruins the cheek when he's inspecting the head for a gland in the cheek, but it'll be cheek. Cheek meat's pretty good. And so we'll mess with that. I think I'll break down and mess with that pretty soon, but it's pretty good.
Keep us posted on that. That should be fun. Mm-hmm. Will Homer, COO of Painted Hills Natural Beef. He's a good guy. I've been
smart. He's very smart.
He's a very smart guy. And if you need somebody to come fix your Wi-Fi, just give him a call. He'll help you out there.
If you're having a kid in the middle of the night, call him up. He'll get you there.
Yeah, the Homer Ambulance Service, you know. Put him in the back with a blanket. No pillow. That'll get them going. So, and Leanne, thank you as always for shotgun with me here. We're going to be back next week, like I said, with Harry Sue. That's always entertaining. Until then, go out, Have some fun, be kind, and remember our motto, turn it, don't burn it. Take care, everybody.